Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning on Zoom. I've got a few notices before we begin. As you'll be aware, Mark and Andrea are continuing their pilgrimage around the benefice and celebrating communion at the different churches. They finish at ASM today at 2 o'clock, and I'm informed that there are a few places left at the service there if anyone wants to attend. If you do, please speak to Alan and Sue. Sue has also left a message to say, could people please continue to support the food bank? And of course, as usual, you can leave donations outside their front door, which is number 4 Mill Road, I think. And Alan's got a notice, I believe.
Yeah, there will be more information coming out soon about future services. At the moment, we, apart from this weekend, which is obviously different to other ones with Andrea doing the pilgrimage, but in there'll be some more information coming out about us continuing to have a Zoom service, but also what will happen about physical services in the church, the various churches each week. But next week, as I'm not sure what will happen in terms of a physical service in the morning, but as well as the Zoom service in the morning like we have now, there'll also be an informal service at ASM at All Saints Mattershall at 5 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. If you want more information, everyone who'd like to come is very, very welcome. If you want to find out more, let us know. We'll say more next week as well, but just to give you a warning of that. And I think that's all from me.
Can I go to the one today, Alan?
Mel said, there's this one this afternoon. You say you want to come along to it?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Anyone can come. But we've now got 19 people booked in, and we've got about 6 chairs left. So there's enough space for other people to come, but what we don't want is to have 30 people there and one person standing outside. So if you can let us know, we can organise it as best we can.
Yes, thanks very much.
Cheers.
Okay, shall we begin with a prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you again on this lovely autumnal day that we are able to meet in your presence here via the technology. And we pray especially at this moment, as we know that Mark and Andrea are on their way to the next church to celebrate communion. And these are Andrea's first communions in the benefice. So we pray that you will bless her through this. And we ask that you will bless us through our worship with you today. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We sing together, All Heaven Declares.
Thank you.
as we come to the end of another week, let us consider in the ways that we have let God down this week, in the things we have said, the things we have thought, and the things we have done, and the things that we shouldn't have said or should have said, and the things that we should have done that we didn't. And we bring those thoughts and we say sorry to God. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us.
Something I'm doing wrong. What am I doing wrong?
For behaving just as we wish, without thinking of you. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
In our reading today, it says, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Safe in the knowledge that we are forgiven, let's praise the Lord, singing, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven."
Thank you.
And now we'll listen to God's word that's brought to us this morning by Sue. Oh, sorry, John and Marion. It was all going so well. Yes, sorry, John and Marion.
Reading today is Psalm 103.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
And forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your sins.
And heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with love and compassion.
Who satisfies your desires with good things.
So that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness.
And justice for all the oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses.
His deeds to the people of Israel.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious.
Slow to anger, abounding in love.
He will not always accuse.
Nor will he harbour his anger forever.
He does not treat us as our sins deserve.
Or repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth.
So great is his love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west.
So far has he removed our transgressions from us.
As a father has compassion on his children.
So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
For he knows how we are formed.
He remembers that we are dust.
The life of mortals is like grass.
They flourish like a flower of the field.
If the wind blows over it and it is gone.
And its place remembers it no more.
But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him.
And his righteousness with their children's children.
With those who keep his covenant.
And remember to obey his precepts.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven.
And his kingdom rules over us all.
Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding.
Who obey his word.
Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts.
You, his servants, who do his will.
Praise the Lord,
all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Thank you, John and Marion. And now Alan is going to bring us our talk.
Let's pray, and I need to ask you something. Father, thank you so much for this word. Thank you for this psalm that David gave us. Lord, speak to us through it and change us. Amen.
Amen.
Before I start, could you grab a Bible? Sorry, I meant to ask you at the start, not John and Marion, because you've got the text already. You will need Psalm 103 before you, if you possibly can. Can you do that each week? But you definitely need it today, please. Oh. Right. I'll just wait for my wife to get a Bible. Everyone seems to have got one. Okie dokie. Right, a word of confession here. When I first became a Christian, I thought the Psalms were miserable. This was 40 years ago or so. I thought, God, why does anyone want to read those? I knew they were part of God's word, and therefore I ought to read them. I tended to avoid them. But over the years, I've come to appreciate them much, much more. Why? Why has Alan changed his mind? I do change my mind sometimes. Because they're realistic. I think for me, as a young Christian, the world was good. Why would anyone say some of the things that are in the Psalms to God? They're often honest prayers. They're realistic. The various psalmists, the writers, David and some other people wrote them, they complain quite a bit when they see things going differently to how they think God should do stuff. They are open and honest and they say, why have you abandoned us? Why is this happening? Usually they come to the conclusion at the end that, yeah, God knows what he's doing. I ought to trust him. I need to trust him anyhow, even though I can't understand what's going on. But not always, actually, not always. But what about today's Psalm 103? This is one of the ones by David. But what is it? Is it a prayer? Who is he speaking to? Is he speaking to God? Is he speaking to other people? Well, if you look at it, I think you'll say, no, he's not speaking to other people or to God. He's speaking to himself. So my question here is, do you talk to yourself? In our family, Sue talks to herself quite a bit. And sometimes that leads to a bit of communication problems because I don't know whether she's talking to me or to herself. Mm-hmm. But here, David is not just, he's not just chuntering away. But we'll see. Let's work through. He's working through some things. He's working through what it means to be one of God's people. And the psalm is for the ancient Israelites, but it's also for us, for our benefit. So why is David saying these things? Why is he explaining things in this way? Now, I'll jump forward a bit to what Jesus said. David didn't know everything that was going to happen with Jesus, obviously, 1,000 years beforehand or so. But Jesus said that he came, that they, his disciples, his people, would have life and have it to the full. And that's something of what David is saying here. God is not to be deliberated over. He's to be delighted in. Right? That is important to know who God is. Trinity, all-powerful, and so on. But basically, we are called to delight in him. So let's have a look at what we've got in the psalm here. Now, the psalm is a bit unusual because we either get told the circumstances of the psalm in the heading at the start, or we can work it out from what's being said. That's not always the case. For example, Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, just goes straight in. It's in a sense as a general psalm. But sometimes we can see the situation, or we're told explicitly in Psalm 51 that David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had gone on to murder her husband Uriah. But in this one, there's no specific sin spoken of, no enemies, no problems for the psalmist to plead to be overcome, but they shed loads in it for us. Now, the reason I asked you particularly to get your Bible is, can you see any relationship between the first and second parts of the verses? Right, just have a quick look. You might know this anyhow, so I might be teaching your grandmother to suck eggs. But John and Marion read it in each verse in two halves. The Psalms are poetry, but they're not poetry as we know it. In English, we have rhyming of sounds, don't we, normally? But in Hebrew poetry, there's often rhyming of ideas, not sounds. This is a word I struggle to say because there's too many L's in it. There's parallelism here. There's a repetition. Often what you see in the first half of the verse is repeated or rephrased in the second half. And that's what we've got through most of this psalm. Now, that's usually done within a verse, but we've also got that in the middle of the psalm in verses 11 and 12, where I think it's 12 is a rephrasing of verse 11. But basically, the second half of the verse rephrases the first half until we get to the end of the psalm. There's like a crescendo, a climax that is built up. So why am I saying this? Why is Alan giving you a lecture on the structure of Hebrew psalms? Here, David is showing us how to live for God. We're seeing what he's trying to do and trying to teach us is to how to realize who God truly is, to truly understand that and set our hearts on fire for God. This psalm isn't just a nice list of things about God to look up when we're feeling down, when we're feeling fed up. This is for us to take deep down inside us, to get to the very core of us. This is not some gentle piece of encouragement for a Sunday morning, but rather David speaking rather like St. Augustine did, St. Augustine of Hippo, the North African St. Augustine, not the Canterbury one. He wrote 1500 years or so later. He said and wrote, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." And David is described as a man after God's own heart. And that's what we should be. We should be men and women after God's own heart. That's not just for the super spiritual heroes like David. That's how we should be, including me. Right, let's have a look at verse 1, excuse me. We can see that the first half, or that there's the same idea in both parts of the verse. The first half says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." Now, some people's translations might say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And when we're told to bless or praise the Lord, what does that actually mean? Well, the Hebrew word, it doesn't matter what it is, that means to praise him with warm, genuine gratitude. That's when we use it speaking of God. Now, we tend to use the word bless a bit different sometimes. For example, if Marion had left her microphone on today and noticed that John had got his shirt or his jumper on back to front, she might say, "Oh, John, you left your jumper on back to front," and we might go, "Oh, bless. Oh, bless him." Sort of thing that John might do. Well, that's obviously not what David is calling us to do here. Again, it's a bit different when God blesses us. But when we're talking about blessing God or praising God, it means this with real gratitude. And David says, "Bless or praise the Lord, O my soul." He means his very being, his very life, his, for us, for me, that would be the core me, what defines me as Alan Cossey, and what defines you as you. And you can see the parallel in second part. "All my inmost being praises holy name." So saying the same thing two different ways. And you can see that again in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on, before coming to that crescendo at the end. But what about verse 2? In verses 1 and 2, he tells us who we should be praising before reminding us who God is like in verses 3 onwards. But how does David say we actually bless or praise the Lord in verse 2? He's saying by not forgetting all his benefits. Well, what's he on about here? In other words, he's saying that we need, this gratitude that we need is remembering what he's done for us, the way he's treated us, the way he's given us all we need, what's sufficient for us. Now, for us, remembering or knowing something, not forgetting something, is a bit weak. We might say, "Oh yeah, I remember when we went such and such and such a place." But for the Israelites, that was a much stronger thing. Now, there's a story of a sermon illustration by John Newton, the bloke who was a slave trader, became an abolitionist, helped do away with the slave trade, slavery as a whole, became an Anglican vicar. And his illustration was of someone sitting down, drinking something, say a cup of tea, reading a newspaper, and his friend sees something on the first person's arm, and he says, "Fred," or whoever, "there's a tarantula crawling up your arm, big hairy thing." Big hairy tarantula, not big hairy arm. And the man's, the friend, the one with a cup of tea and tarantula on his arm, doesn't do anything. He carries on reading his newspaper. And his friend says, "John, did you hear what I said?" And the first fella says, "Yeah, I've got a big tarantula crawling up my arm." "A big tarantula crawling up my arm? No, he knew beforehand, because he said, "Yeah, there's a tarantula crawling up my arm." And then the light goes on. He knows in a very different way, and he flings a thing off. And that can be like us and the Israelites as well. God told the Israelites to remember things, not just in a head sense. Yeah, there's something crawling up my arm. Yeah, you're God, we know that sort of thing. He said over 250 times in the Old Testament that the Old Testament people, the Israelites, are called upon to remember things or did remember things. Three examples for you, all from Deuteronomy, when they're about to go into the promised land. God said, chapter 4, verse 9, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Then he also said, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord. Not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. And be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Umpteen times he reminds them of what he has done for them. And they have festivals to remember, like the Passover. And they set up monuments, all to help them remember and take in, you know, right inside them, who God is and what he's done for them. But despite all this, God knew that they would forget. Still in Deuteronomy, he says, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then mentally, you know, their forgetting meant they would abandon the Lord their God. They did that umpteen times and things went badly for the nation. And that's a danger for us as well, that we can understand that Jesus saved us, but it cannot be our very core. That can be something that happens because we may have hectic lives, but our lives might not be more hectic than theirs was, and we need to remember. But sometimes the Bible speaks about God forgetting things. I want to just mention something on this. In Isaiah 43:25, God says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Does that mean that God sort of scratches his head and says, like, what was it Alan did in 1984 that was wrong? Does he struggle to remember them? Does that mean God's got a failing memory? Well, no, obviously. That means that these things no longer spur him on. They no longer decide how he acts towards us. Our sins are in the past, they're forgiven, they're no longer relevant. That's what it means. This idea of remembering is about how it affects us. So remember that remembering in the biblical sense means to have this motivation, have this reason why we do something in our heart as well as our head. In our psalm, David gives us lots of reasons why we should praise God, why we should love him, why we should be motivated by him, why we should live for God. And again, let's go back to that psalm in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, where Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I won't go through the details here because I've probably spoken nearly long enough. But if you go through these verses, you'll see that the huge number of things that God has done for us and who he is. He's compassionate and gracious. He doesn't accuse, doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Things like that. Those are amazing. They ought to sink in. Perhaps we ought to learn this psalm off by heart. But that word for love, that's quite important to understand that. You hopefully know that in the New Testament, the word that the New Testament writers used, they wrote in Greek, there's four different words for love in Greek. There's brotherly love, friends, man, woman, you know, romantic, sexual love. And then there's this word agape, this the self-giving love, the sort of love that a nurse might have for a grumpy patient. She looks after him even though he's grumpy and she doesn't really like him. That's his self-giving love. But the love here in this passage, four times, and lots of other places in the Old Testament, that's a bit different. This is speaking of God's loving kindness, his faithfulness. So it's a little bit different. And we haven't got to the New Testament yet, remember. But this is God keeping his word, keeping his promises. And God's made promises to us, Old and New Testament. He remembers. Question is, do we remember properly? The last thing is for us to remember is how God came to be able to love us this way. God has not forgotten us. He's never abandoned us. And he never will. But you know that there was one person that he did forget. That he did abandon, if you want to put it that way. He was on the cross. Who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forgotten, forsaken, abandoned, deserted, left. However you want to put it. His father turned his face away from him. So that he doesn't have to turn his face away from us. And that's what love costs. What it cost God. What it cost the Father. That's what Jesus went through for us, didn't he? So our part is to respond to that and to let it sink in. All that God has done for us. The forgiveness that Jesus got us. To make it forefront in our minds. To be the forefront of what we do and why we do things. And when we know it that way, we'll be able to say what sort of remembering it is. Is it there's a tarantula crawling up my arm? Or is it, there's a tarantula crawling up my arm? Or here, it's a, yeah, Jesus was, yeah, no, Jesus was forgotten, abandoned for me, so I wouldn't be. Or is it a heartfelt, Jesus, my Lord, was forgotten, abandoned for me, so that I wouldn't be. Will we be able to say from our hearts, from our very inmost being, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Because that's what God wants for us. That's what it means to delight in God. That's what is offered to us. That's what our life can be. As followers of Jesus, as ones who have been forgiven by God and filled with his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, when we take time to see what you've done, to remind ourselves of what you've done through us, through Jesus, we're just blown away. Please will you make that stick in our minds and in our hearts, in our very inmost being, who you are and what you've done for us. And not just in this service, but as we spend the rest of the day with our families or our friends, or go out or stay in, or people we mix with remotely or closely next week, Lord, be at the very centre of our lives, our motivation for all we do. Amen.
Let's just pause for a minute to reflect on what Alan has been speaking about today. Think about our motivations, the way we view God and what he's done for us through Jesus. And through that, let's declare our faith in God. Could I have the next slide, please? Leroy, thank you. We say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Creator.
I believe in Jesus Christ,
His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
We'll sing again, All Creatures of Our God and King. This time again when we are going to share the peace with one another. So after we've said the words, Leroy will unmute us and we can all wave and say peace to us all. Blessed be Christ, the Prince of Peace.
He breaks the walls that divide us. Praise Christ, who is our peace.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's all share the peace. The wave.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you
all. Peace be with you, everybody.
Peace be with you.
Oh, I need a bar.
Hi, Fred.
Thank you, Leroy. Can we have the I believe we're going to sing again. The words from the psalm that we've been listening to today. The Lord is gracious and compassionate.
Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord to all, he has compassion on all that he has made. And as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. And as far as the east is from transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. And as far as the east is from the west, as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he has removed our transgressions from us.
And now Sue's going to lead us in our prayers.
And so, Lord, we come now humbly before you. Our gracious God, our compassionate God. You see each of us as we are, and you know our thoughts, our desires, our weaknesses. Lord, through all our shortcomings, your love, everlasting, it never fails. You remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. So we have no need to fear what we have been or what we are. We just need to pour it all out to you and ask for forgiveness. You are such a wonderful, awesome, and all-providing God. Our words can't fully express all that you are to us. We praise you from the depths of our hearts, Lord. So shall we just take a moment in the quiet to bring our thanks and praise to our God for his wonderful forgiveness and all that he brings to us through Jesus. You may like to quietly think through the words that we read a moment ago at the beginning of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
As our hearts thank you for your patience and your compassion towards us, Lord, we are so aware of our broken world, the world you created to be perfect. We continually see images through our media of war and destruction, man's inhumanity to man. Lord, we cry out to you to raise up men and women of integrity to rule our nations and to work for peace in our troubled world. And Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering. At the moment, we're seeing the refugees in Lesbos, those who've traveled in awful conditions, struggling to find a better life for themselves and their families, only to find more tragedy and pain. Lord, bring them hope for a better future and show us how to help make that happen by playing our part in practical giving and committed to praying for them. May we be moved by your love for your world and freely give and support by committing ourselves to serving others, using whatever gifts you've given us. Lord, shake us up and wake us to look at what we can do to make a difference. Perhaps we can just spend a moment of quiet now and bring before God any situations that are coming into our minds now of suffering, both here and abroad. All these things that are desperate for your healing touch of peace and forgiveness and reconciliation. life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
We turn now to our own country, and we thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where we can freely worship you without fear of reprisals. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives and all that you have blessed us with. Not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of your immeasurable love for us. Lord, we thank you with all our hearts for the provision in our lives. Lord, because we are free to speak, give us the courage to support those without a voice. May we seek to work in any way we can to bring justice and equality in our world and our country and our community. We pray for all who are disadvantaged, for those who struggle to make a living, for those with no employment, especially at the moment with so many people seeking jobs, those who struggle because of a disability or who are discriminated against. Lord, we pray for peace and equality in communities where there are racial tensions. Wipe out fear and ignorance and bring tolerance, concern, love, and a better understanding of people for one another. Let's just spend a moment again in quiet for each of us individually to pray for our country, our government, Prime Minister, and all in authority who make decisions on our behalf that in turn affect us and others. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
As we think of our country and the rest of the world, we're constantly reminded at the moment of COVID-19 and that it's still very much a part of our lives. We give you thanks, Lord, for our healthcare system and for all those who work so tirelessly within it to bring healing and help in times of pain and illness. For their devotion, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we pray that through times of anxiety such as these, many people will look to you for answers and seek purpose for their lives. Lord, reach into the hearts of those who are afraid and anxious. Bring them your hope for the present and the future. Lord, we pray for our children and young people who are returning to schools and colleges and universities, many of them entering a new experience in their lives. Comfort and walk with them, Lord, and may they know your presence daily to bring them a new confidence and joy. We bring to you, Lord, all our teaching staff who are under tremendous pressure, conform to regulations and stuff at the moment, but at the same time they've got to do their job and be approachable and caring and supportive of their students. Lord, we ask that you will give them physical, mental and emotional strength to do their job. And as we spend a moment now, perhaps we can just pray for children and young people, for teachers and parents, all of those that we know in those situations, and ask for God's blessing on them, Lord. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
Lord, we pray for each of our communities here in the benefice, we pray for the part that we play as Christians, where we live. We pray that we may impact on the lives of the people around us. Show us and encourage us, Lord, to be true disciples, to not shy away from telling others of you in a loving and caring and honest way. We ask, Lord, that you'll give us opportunities to share what you mean to us. We pray for our leaders here in the benefice, for Mark and Sally and Andrea, and for everyone involved in all sorts of ministries within the various churches. Lord, we thank you for this special weekend for Andrea, as she does her pilgrimage walk with Mark and celebrating communion in each of the churches. We ask, Lord, that this will be a time that you will give them spiritual insight and direction. Help them as leaders here in our benefice. Pray for Mark as he carries the overall responsibility. And we ask you to show him daily the path you want him to take, both in his personal life and in the decisions that he will make to affect the direction we all go as churches under his care. We ask that you'll clearly speak to Jackie Clay as she spends time with you on her sabbatical, and that you will reveal your will to each of us individually as we seek you. Now perhaps we can just have a moment where we can all come before you, Lord, and ask you to show us how we can honour you in our lives. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
And finally, Lord, we bring to you those we know that need your healing touch. Lord, many were brought to you for healing when you were here on earth. And although we can't see you physically now, we know that you are with us here. You're with us here by your Spirit. And so we ask you for continued healing for Jules, that she may recover her strength and return to full health. Lord, we bring you dear Amy, June's granddaughter, and ask that there may be clarity on what her condition is, together with the treatment, bring her back to full health. We give thanks for Tom and his continued healing. And we commit Sally to you as well. Continue your healing in her. We thank you too for the evidence of your working in Cheryl's life and her parents. There are many people, Lord, that we want to see return to full health and who have need of you. We're now going to just take a moment of quiet and bring them to you, Lord, in prayer individually. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
We conclude our prayers by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Please say it in the version closest to your heart. I will be saying the more modern version. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now a final prayer. The Lord God Almighty is our Father.
He loves us and tenderly cares for us all.
The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour.
He has redeemed us and will defend us to the end.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is among us.
He will lead us in God's holy way. To God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory today and forever.
And the blessing. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and those we love and remain with us always. Amen. And in a moment, we're going to sing our final song. After that, there's the opportunity to go away and make a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and come back and chat to the church family. If you'd like to do that, please do stay. If you aren't able to stay, every blessing for this week, and we look forward to seeing you all next week. We sing together, Everlasting God. Please do join us for coffee. See you all in 5 minutes.